come down to see you, Jerry.
Oh, well, that was all.
We weren't going to leave without that.
I wouldn't go away.
We figured, where else can we find you but there?
Well,
I hope business was good.
Well, you see, we have a problem in publishing this, that, and the other thing. We wholesale them to everybody, and it turns out we had some.
That's about as foreign as it goes.
Yeah, we have a fellow who always makes the New York convention, and he's from, Nick Landau's from England, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's pretty far for him. He was
the whole ocean.
Yeah, we can't ask for much more.
Well, are we on?
Yeah, I think so.
We are on, yes.
Well, full of worms up. I understand you have a lot of people from New York.
Yeah, that's the East Coast is the biggest geographic clump of collectors. The New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts area there is just one huge glob of collectors. There's no other geographic part of the country that even comes close to that.
Tell me, Murray, is this the second biggest convention in the country? How does it rank with New York?
East Coast?
This is about, I believe, the second biggest. The New York convention is known for pandemonium. They have a lot of pouring in. Sometimes the dealer's room is about three times the size of this one here.
Does Dynapubs go to most of the conventions or only particular ones?
This year, Murray went to Houston, and then he went to New York, and then this one, too. This is a lot more fun than the New York convention.
It's
so much more personal.
It's very lovely.
It's just been so many wonderful people here, and we've just had an incredible amount of fun. And usually, you go to conventions, you work. And you just, in the evenings, you're ready to get out and run around town a little.
Yeah, well, now that you're coming out weekly and so many of these conventions are proliferating, I imagine you could cut a great deal into your time and, you have these problems of turning out your weekly publications and all the others.
Yeah, my mom is home putting it. She's been practicing for 2 weeks.
I often wonder how your fellows can manage to do that. You're turning out such a tremendous production, and there must be a million and one details. And for all those ads, and everything's got to be just right.
Well, which is the oldest convention? Is it the New York?
Yes, it started in 1964.
I see, and then the other sprang up. Which was second? Was this Coast?
Heavens. This one's a relatively new one.
1970, yeah. 5 years.
5 years old, I think.
As usual.
64, you said?
Yes, I believe that's when the first one. The universe is a little get together. The science fiction convention started out in something like 37, I think, and they said, I read in the magazine, right? Something like two dozen people got together, and they proclaimed, this is the first convention. So science fiction fandom is born, folks.
Yeah.
So the other conventions, mostly I think they sprang up on the East Coast first, and then we get around. Mm. It really takes a dedicated person to say, we're going to have a convention, and he's going to be willing to put up with a lot of crap to get it done.
Yeah, a lot of work.
So it's
well, Shell and Richard Butler certainly were busy.
Sure, they were.
Lovely people, too. We're delighted to meet you,
right.
Alan, and
Of course, you two are a legend to us, after all. And we get now we get your publication every week, and we avidly turn
that
to it.
Subscribe.
I think there was an article.
And he's continuing it under my name.
I think there was some article in one of the big publications telling about the success of your enterprise, and she read the article. Maybe you can remember what magazine you read it in, and that's why you subscribed.
It might have been in an article.
Well, something like that. It was some very big publication.
I wrote for your publication. And he got interested in it,
And I'm so glad that we subscribed, because now we're really up on what's going on.
Right.
So
because it's difficult when you're incognito and in seclusion.
And
but you're interested.
Yeah.
It's very interesting that you've been adding these extra features, these columns, and these comics. It gives the thing a dimension that was lacking before, and I think it's very helpful and helps attract probably even more readership for you. And it kind of just gives you a sort of a balanced, you know, editorial setup, which I think definitely benefits it. I'm sure you'll hear that again and again.
Yeah.
We hope it does. You know, we keep our
we'll have a lot of photos on this convention.
Oh, God.
Too.
Yeah. And I want to thank both of you so very, very much for not only the mentions that you gave me, which brought me here in the very first place, but some of the photographs that you've run in recent issues, such as of Shell and myself. I think you're two great guys. You're very warm-hearted. And as I've told Murray, I wouldn't be here except for you, your people, and particularly Murray in this column.
We wouldn't be here.
Very giving of
yourself. Well, thank you.
And Joe
thank
appreciates you. It, too.
Yes.
Because you were also very nice.
Oh, yes. I sent Joe a copy of your column. And he was very, very touched and very happy.
Where is he now? Is he
he's off in New York.
Yes. He doesn't attend conventions right
well,
now.
Well, not at present, but
we asked him if he wanted to attend, and he said no, not
now. However, he did indicate that in the future, all depending on circumstances, perhaps he might be able to go and would like to go in the future, possibly.
But of course, he's over there, and with us, it's a couple of hours drive, but he couldn't afford the.
Well, we had so many traumatic happenings happen to us that both of us just wanted to be in seclusion for an awfully long time. And I think Joe may be coming out of it.
How is his health? Is it good?
It's not too good.
That's what we've heard.
Yeah.
No, and he took care of his mother, and his mother passed away before Thanksgiving. And you know, he never married.
We didn't know.
And so he and his brother are two bachelors trying to keep each other going.
Well, as a matter of fact, Joe always worked under the handicap of bad vision, but through the years, and as a matter of fact, working on Superman, or I guess if he had been working on anything else, the same thing would have happened, but it was Superman he was working on, did continue to damage his vision because of the exacting work that had to be done. He gave everything. He didn't receive enough.
Well, we can skip over that part. I'll talk for a little while. I can't talk about it either. Maybe we can get into something else for a while.
Where do you live up in Los Angeles, sir?
Well,
we live near Santa Monica and. We don't want to give out our address.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we have it.
I know, but I don't know what you can do with the page.
Right.
By the way, it's never been mentioned, or it hasn't been mentioned much, except in it's just a recent interview that appeared in the Sunday edition of the San Diego Union, that my wife Joanne was the original model for the Lois Lane character. When Superman was first appeared, she actually posed for the character for Joe, here you are, gentlemen, Lois Lane in the living, palpitating flesh.
Secret identity.
Revealed
at last. Yeah. Well, we were all youngsters then, and I was a skinny little kid, and I wanted to earn money on Saturdays, so I put an ad in the Situation Wanted of the Plain Dealer, Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know anything about modeling, you know, but I was like Jerry and Joe, very gutsy for my age.
Good.
So I put an ad in, and I got a lot of mail. Mostly from guys who wanted dates, because I put attractive model. I figured I had to put something in to, you know, get some mail. So Joe wrote me a letter, and he said he was looking for a model to pose for a comic strip, and he would pay me $1.50 an hour, which was very good money then, you know.
It was like 1,500 an hour now.
And I thought, well, that was pretty good, you know, for Saturday, because people used to work all day for that kind of money in those days.
Oh, sure.
And so he didn't have a phone, and neither did I, so we had to correspond. You know, it was, everybody was broke in those days. And so he said if I was interested, I should come to his apartment at 2 o'clock the following Saturday. So I got down there. It was a freezing cold January day. And I just about froze by the time I got to his apartment. And I went up there, and meanwhile, I had never had any experience modeling or anything. So I used to read the Street and Smith magazines and the fashion magazines, and I knew a local junk man, and he used to let me have all the magazines, and then if I brought them back the following week, he'd let me take some more, and, you know. So I never had to buy magazines. So I posed in front of the bedroom mirror, you know, I'd copy all the poses, you know, all the glamour poses of that era that was so popular. You know, all the illustrators used to use girls instead of photos for their stories. You may recall if you look at old magazines. So I posed in front of the bedroom mirror. I, you know, practiced different poses and memorized some. And meanwhile, I got the mail. And when I went up to Joe Schuster's place, my heart was pounding, you know. And so I knocked on the door, and a boy my size opened the door wearing glasses, just opened it a crack. And I said, I'm the model Mr. Schuster wrote to. So he opened the door, and he motioned me in. And we started talking, and we hit it off right away. We were talking about movies. We were talking about everything, and I was thawing out. And a woman stuck her head out of the kitchen and said, hello. And an older woman, and a little girl ran through the living room chased by a little boy and out again. And we were talking for the longest time, and finally I said, does Mr. Schuster know I'm here? And he said, I'm Mr. Schuster. He was in senior high and I was in junior high, but he was, you know, same height as I was, and you know, and I thought he was just Mr. Schuster's younger brother. Because I didn't know who Mr. Schuster was. So that was my first modeling job.
Oh, my. How exciting.
Of course, I told him the whole truth. You know, I said, he said, did you ever have any experience? And I said, in front of the bedroom mirror, you know. And he laughed because that's the way they were starting, too, you know. And so I posed for him, and and his mother would look in, and I was turning blue, and my sister's bathing suit that was too big, and I pinned it in the back. And he says, never mind. He says, I'll put a little bit more here and a little bit more there. And but he used my face and my hairdo and my poses. It just made me look more voluptuous and older. I had to be older, you know.
What were you modeling for?
Lois Lane.
For Lois Lane?
Oh, yes, so yes. Oh, yeah. He had won a art scholarship through a contest held by the Shopping News. And I guess he went in the summertime, took the course.
I don't recall the details, but I know that I think it was John Huntington Art School.
It was an art institute. So that's where he got his training as an artist. You must forgive me. I have a little allergy.
Thank you.
So I know this running.